This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Kathy Pedrotti-Hayes is an expert in CSR and philanthropic giving, and her co-host, Vicki Bolson, is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company that was also the first B Corp certified company in Indiana. Kathy and Vicki became friends and equally passionate about CSR when they first worked together several years ago. Join them as they talk about why it is always worthwhile to take care in business.
Morning, Kathy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Have you been having some good outdoor weather lately? It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful, yeah. I'm really enjoying it and definitely enjoying the outdoors way more than I have for a long time.
Yeah, I know. There's not much else to do this year. Work or go outdoors. Well, I am. I just wanted to kind of touch base on, you know, we've had a lot of guests that have been working in the prison system, either trying to help with reform or decrease recidivism. And so I just wanted to remind you of a statistic. When ex-offenders are released from prison, they're 12 and a half times more likely to die in the first 2 weeks after release than the average citizen.
I was not aware of that statistic.
I thought we had talked about that before. And so it kind of, to me, I was like, whoa, I remember talking about this, but I didn't realize it was that high. Well, in 2018, CareSource designed a pilot program with Family Social Services Administration and the Indiana Department of Correction to assist Indiana citizens reentering their communities. CareSource's Indiana Reentry Program is among the first of its kind in the country and serves an often forgotten population that is surrounded by stigma. Through their efforts, CareSource begins to lead ex-offenders down a path to self-sufficiency and hope. I just love CareSource. I know I talk about them with you all the time. They're a nationally recognized company for leading the industry and providing member-centric healthcare coverage overall. They have all kinds of really cool programs, and this is just one of them. The company's managed care business model was founded in 1989, and today CareSource is one of the nation's largest Medicaid managed care plans. They're headquartered in Dayton, Ohio, and the company has built this legacy of providing quality healthcare coverage for Medicaid consumers. And so today we have Dr. Camwell Wright, the medical director of CareSource in Indiana. And she knows that after incarceration, the returning citizens face additional hurdles as their criminal records bar them from certain housing, education, employment, and licensing opportunities. And she can talk to us today about an additional step that CareSource has taken to help expunge criminal records from these formerly incarcerated individuals that will also help them have an even greater chance of success in their community. So I want to welcome Dr. Wright, and I want to start off by asking you, I did a little, you know, sneaking on LinkedIn about you, you were and are like a renowned OBGYN. I thought we'd start off by asking, what led you to leave that and join CareSource? I mean, there must have been some kind of a passion burning in you.
Well, good morning. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to join you this morning. And thank you very much for that compliment. I did practice OBGYN clinically for about 15 years, and I loved it. I loved being able to take care of families and being there for their special moments. But as I progressed through my career, I realized that I wanted more. I realized that there were policies and procedures that were being crafted by individuals who weren't necessarily clinically focused. And I felt the need to have more physician leadership and more physician voice when it comes to such policies and operations. I made the decision to go back to school, believe it or not, I went to business school. I went to business school. I got my MBA. And then I looked for an opportunity to, again, be part of a larger conversation. I came across the opportunity at CareSource, and I learned about CareSource, and I learned about how CareSource is really mission-focused, dedicated to a largely underserved population. And that really spoke to me in terms of my own personal values. And so it seemed to be a good fit, and I accepted the opportunity, and I've been here for 3 years and loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I just am so impressed by your education. You're definitely the smartest one in the room, or, well, on the phone.
Oh. I don't know if that's true, but, again, I appreciate the compliment.
So there's so many wonderful programs that CareSource does. Like you said, you serve the underserved population, and it's, you know, I know of a lot of different programs, but we can touch on those, but I wanted to talk specifically about the reentry program. How did that get started, and exactly what is your role in it, and how does it work?
So the reentry program is something that we are incredibly proud of. We launched our Medicaid plan in Indiana in 2017. And at that point, we were assigned some initial members by the state. And we learned very early on that many of these members were individuals who were returning to the community from incarceration. And as you might imagine, this population encounters an incredible amount of challenges, trying to reintegrate into society, trying to reconnect to family and friends, trying to avoid any temptations and staying out of trouble, gaining employment and housing and those sorts of things. And so it became clear that we needed to carve out special program to help these individuals, not just with their medical concerns, but also just with their social issues. Our mission here at CareSource is to help individuals thrive, to help them gain self-sufficiency. And this seemed to be a perfect population to be able to serve our mission. I lead the program. So I helped to design it and helped to recruit the team. We have 3 full-time criminal justice liaisons, which are individuals who work both inside of the correctional facilities as well as outside in the community, helping these individuals with their transition. We also have a community health worker who works with the team, and the team is guided by our transitions manager, who is a social worker. So we have many different people on the team with many different backgrounds, all who come together to figure out what is best needed for this population. We engage returning citizens in 2 different ways. The first way is that we actually are physically present in all 15 of the state-run correctional facilities in Indiana, and we participate in their pre-release curriculum. We host a conference in which we talk about health insurance, why it's important to have health insurance, what the Healthy Indiana Plan is, which is one of Indiana's Medicaid plans, what you need to know about it. And then I think most importantly, how to connect with us after release. Believe it or not, the team has several individuals who contact them every day after release saying, okay, what now? You know, how can you help me now? And the first thing that the team does is helps to activate their Medicaid. So sometimes it requires a call to the Division of Family Resources to get that ball rolling. The team helps them obtain their coverage. And then we really do a series of assessments to figure out what that particular person's needs are. So obviously, as a health company, we're concerned with their health needs. So we want to understand what their physical and their behavioral health concerns are so that we can link them to the proper providers who can help them manage those conditions. And we also want to know what their social concerns are. So in terms of housing, in terms of education, employment, those sorts of things. We work hand in hand with another team that CareSource has called Job Connect that links individuals with life coaches. And those life coaches helps our members bust through barriers and achieve their educational and employment goals. So again, working in conjunction with that team, we really try to, again, overcome hurdles and help those individuals obtain the necessary services to reintegrate into society.
Back to the stat that Vicki gave sort of at the top of this, what are the contributing factors to the morbidity rate being so high for returning citizens?
That was very sad but true statistic. And there are many things. Homicide, suicide, unfortunately drug overdose is very common because people will sometimes return to substance use and return to their previous dose, if you will, of substances, even though they don't have the same tolerance. And so, unfortunately, they will expire of a drug overdose. And interestingly enough, heart disease is a big contributing factor, too. And sometimes people will die from heart-related conditions. So there's a variety of things there, both physical and sort of social, that contributes to those deaths. What we try to do at CareSource is, as I mentioned earlier, we try to link the returning citizens to necessary medical care so that if they do have health conditions that could be life-threatening, we're getting them the necessary medical care as well as the necessary medication to control those conditions. And as far as things like substance abuse, we certainly have many different programs, many different providers, and we have incentives to keep all of our members, but particularly our returning citizens, engaged in recovery so that hopefully they can avoid relapse and certainly overdose.
I noticed that you're using the term returning citizen as opposed to ex-offender. What's the genesis for that?
I think that that's really important to be cognizant of the words that we use. Ex-offender stigmatizes individuals who are returning to the community. I feel, and I think that this reflects the attitude of my organization, that once you've done your time, you really should be allowed every opportunity to reintegrate into society without walking around with kind of a scarlet letter on your chest, right? So ex-offender is a constant reminder that this is someone who committed a crime, and this is someone that we had to lock up. Returning citizen, I think, is a much more positive term. It signifies someone who's been away and it's now returning to society, and we're going to embrace this individual as a citizen, and we are going to offer every opportunity and support that we would offer to any other citizen. So in this case, I think words matter because words reflect attitudes.
Definitely. Yeah, thanks for the explanation.
I would also imagine that the expungement program is another step in giving them that sort of equal footing with the rest of society.
That's absolutely right. So, as you mentioned earlier, when you come out of a correctional facility, you have a criminal record, as you might imagine. And that criminal record really can be a hurdle for your entire life. There are jobs and job opportunities that you are not eligible for. There are certain governmental programs that you may not be eligible for. There are certain licenses and certifications that you are not eligible for. So having a criminal record can really bar you from important opportunities that really help you become self-sufficient and thrive in our society. And what we want to do is to make sure that all returning citizens who are eligible can avail themselves of expungement. So what expungement is there is a process. All states have it, but I'll speak specifically about Indiana. There is a process to have your criminal record erased. And as you might imagine, there are very strict criteria. So people with violent crimes, people with sexual-based crimes, et cetera, are not eligible for this. So you have to meet very stringent criteria. But if you do meet that criteria and there's been an appropriate amount of time and you've paid your fees, any restitution that may be applicable, then you can apply for something called expungement, which is, again, erasing your record. There are fees that are associated with expungement. And sometimes you may choose to engage a lawyer to help with that because you can only do it one time. So you want to do it right. And so we don't want those fees to be a barrier because we see this expungement as being a critical step in helping these citizens really get back to life and having a fulfilling life. And so we do offer a fund to help our members expunge their records. We require them to be actively involved with our reentry program, as well as our Job Connect program. So again, we're helping put the pieces in place. But we do have this additional service that we offer to help reduce the burden that may come from the financial requirement of expungement.
How does it work exactly? I read somewhere that $500 goes towards this program or this offer of assistance to each returning citizen. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the way it works is you have to be a CareSource member. Obviously, you have to be a returning citizen. You have to meet the state's criteria. So again, you have to have committed crimes that aren't excluded. You have to have paid all your court fees, your restitution fees, any fees that are required to be paid as a result of your criminal offenses. There is an application process, so you have to complete that application. Sometimes the state will waive your fees, so you have to have made an attempt to have your fees waived. And then once all that criteria is met, we will work with that individual to pay up to $500 of those remaining fees. So that may be, again, the expungement fee itself. It could be lawyer fees, anything that's directly related to the expungement.
So how with the current pandemic going on, how has COVID-19 affected your operations?
So that's a great question. It's harder. that is the short answer. So everything that returning citizens face is magnified right now. So in a time of social distancing, it's become increasingly harder to reconnect with people, to reunite with friends and family, and get that much needed social support. Social service agencies are overwhelmed because people who aren't normally requiring help are now requiring help. Agencies are either closing their doors or they're overwhelmed with the large amount of individuals who need support right now. There's more competition than ever for jobs because the unemployment rate is very high. So it is already very difficult for a returning citizen to gain employment. It is now that much harder when they have to compete against people who don't have criminal backgrounds. So our reentry team is working very, very hard to be creative, to work with our community partners, with our Job Connect team, to figure out how to make the necessary connections and get our returning citizens the support that they need. So very challenging right now.
I can imagine. What kind of, I know this is a program that's been in place for years and years and years, but what kind of outcomes have you had so far? What kind of successes?
Mm-hmm. So we track data very, very closely because we feel like it's important to be able to demonstrate that this program provides value. And what we've seen preliminarily is that our returning citizens are more likely to be engaged with us as a health plan, obviously. They're more likely to complete the health needs screening, which is a state requirement. It's an assessment that we are required to do of all our new Medicaid members, and it really helps to hone in on what the needs are of that individual. It's an important assessment. We oftentimes have trouble getting in touch with our members to get this assessment done, but we are more successful in getting that done in this population, which allows us, again, to help serve their needs. We find that they're more likely to engage in behavioral health services. Those services include recovery services, and they're less likely to be hospitalized for behavioral health needs. We like to think because we are getting them the necessary outpatient care. So we're definitely seeing some preliminary data that shows that our members are doing better as a result of our efforts. The ultimate thing that we want to be able to demonstrate is that we lower the recidivism rate, which is that our members are less likely to return to prison. It takes about 3 years to really get that data. So I'm hoping within the next year or so, we'll have that data, and I'm hoping that we will be able to see that we've made an impact in that way.
So, Dr. Wright, how can people in the areas you serve find out more about CareSource and this program?
Absolutely. So CareSource.com is a great way to get in contact with us. So if anyone wants to learn more about it, they can contact us through our website. We also have an email, and let me make sure that I get this right because I don't want to direct people to the wrong email. It's Indiana Reentry, that's R-E-E-N-T-R-Y, at caresource.com.
Awesome, Kamel. Well, this has been a really great interview, great hearing about this fantastic program. I think timing is pretty good with everything going on in this world to just talk about how we can help those returning citizens. And I thank you for coming on the program, as does Kathy.
Well, I really thank you for the opportunity. I think that the more we can spread the word that these are human beings who are deserving of our help and our understanding, the more I think that we can help support their reintegration into society and their future contribution to that society. So again, thank you for allowing me to spend some time with you today.
So Vicki, we had an opportunity a while ago to interview a gentleman by the name of Greg Kiesling, who is the founder of Recycle Force. And today, in our Taking Care in Community segment, we actually have a nomination for Janet Kiesling, who is the CEO of a nonprofit called Keys to Work. And it's Keys to Work. And what they do is they unlock the labor force. So they employ ex-offenders or returning citizens, as we've just recently learned to call folks coming out of prison, returning citizens who have gone through the Recycle Force program. They find like permanent placements for them, or more permanent placements than just the Recycle Force. And they really follow what Mayor Hogsett's ABC plan, which is any job, a better job, and career. And Janet has been working tirelessly with this population for years and years and years. And so it's really exciting to see what's happening now. They've continued to employ people throughout COVID as they recognize that some of our returning citizens are some of the most fragile aspects in our community. So it's kind of cool to be able to recognize her and the great organization Keys to Work.
Yeah, that's a great one. And I'm so glad that National Bank of Indianapolis sponsors this segment so we could highlight them.
Let's give a big thank you to our sound engineer, Matt Sosi.
Woo-hoo!
And our Taking Care in Community sponsor, National Bank of Indianapolis. If you'd like to nominate someone or an organization for a future episode, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com.
Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get our podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review or share this episode on your social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, take care in business.